Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, December 21st. Hi, Kelsey.
Hello.
We're all ready for you. You know, I actually got 8 hours of sleep, which is like a record for me.
Oh.
Since I usually get 3-4 hours of sleep. So
you look rested.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I know. In fact, I was at a point where, like, I can't sleep anymore. I need to get up, but it was so nice and warm under the covers.
Oh, see, I wish I had that problem.
Really?
Oh, I sleep. Like, I can just be a professional sleeper.
Yeah. No, I am too. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, often I go to sleep at 3:30, and that's really late. But now that it's been getting cold and stuff, I'm just like, just let me go to bed. You know, there's nothing left to do. I'll do it in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
So
it does that to you. Oh, my gosh, the big news today. How about the Miss Universe pageant?
Oh, wow. Did you hear about that? Isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness. Poor thing.
Yeah. So what exactly happened there?
Okay, so Steve Harvey, he crowned Miss Columbia mistakenly.
As Miss Universe.
As Miss Universe.
Right.
When Miss Philippines was actually the winner. I know. And it was so, I don't know if you watched it.
Closer to the mic, Kelsey.
I actually didn't watch it, but I watched the highlights after.
Right.
And it was so sad to watch her.
Oh, really?
Decrowned.
I didn't actually see that. Really? So she was like really bummed out.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, there's all kinds of speculation as to whether or not it was for ratings or what, or whether it was just an honest mistake. The one thing we all know is that Steve Harvey cannot spell.
Right?
I don't know. Do you guys follow Twitter? This is hilarious.
Why? What did he spell?
Columbia with a U instead of an O. And then he spelled Philippines wrong, too. I don't forget how he spelled it. But yes, I mean, hilarity ensued. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of all the talk. And I don't know.
Wow. That would be pretty disappointing. You know, I can't imagine the emotions they had to go through. You know, both of them, really, when you think about it. You know, I mean, the first one, it's like when she doesn't win, you know, she's probably like all broken and torn up. And then suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, you won. You know, it's like in front of millions of people, you have to react.
Yes.
You know, so it,
yes.
Yeah, wow.
But, you know, let's look at it this way. They're probably all going to come out on top because everybody knows who they are now.
Right, huh?
You know, whereas had it gone smoothly, maybe not so much.
That's true, huh? Okay. So it put it in the media, in the spotlight.
Yeah, maybe there's a silver lining for Miss Columbia.
Right. You know what Donald Trump is saying? Since he owned part of the Miss Universe, he had a stake in it. He says that he would have given it to both. That they would have to share it, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how great that would feel, but I don't think because he just, it's not like they tied in their scores, you know.
Right.
So I don't see why he would give it to both of them, you know. I mean, so Steve Harvey made a mistake, but I don't think that they should, that the winner should have to split her win with somebody else.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of an unfortunate situation all around.
It is. But, you know, what the hell, you know, it's just Miss Universe. Who cares, right?
Yeah, who cares?
Did you ever go on pageants?
I did. Just years of hard work. Never go.
Right? And you probably won, right?
I did.
Did you win?
I did, yeah.
You know, it's one thing I've noticed about Texas women, and I've said this like a long time ago. It's like Texas women are very beautiful, I think, you know? I mean, look, I'll bet you out of Miss America, I'll bet you there's been more women from Texas than anywhere else. I'm willing to bet you, you know?
Well, so, thank you. You know, it's funny because I always kind of just thought it was the norm because everybody was, you know, attractive
right?
in Texas. Not everybody, but,
but you most know. People, you know? But,
yeah, and then, you know, you go to other places in America even and you're like, oh.
Right. So, I mean, who's more famous than the Dallas cheerleaders, right? Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders
that's
and stuff,
so
you
true.
Know? And all that. So, but no, also I've met women from Texas. In fact, I remember when I was, I mean, I'm like still like head over heels over this woman who was a girl. I mean, we were 21 years old, you know. But she was so gorgeous and from Texas and stuff that I was just like stunned. You know, I was totally like, so then I started noticing that, you know, not just pretty, but beautiful, you know. So there you go. So, so Miss Universe, yeah, we have a couple of guests, special guests waiting here in the studio. We're going to get to them in just a moment. We can't move to the order of the day before talking about Star Wars, right?
Did you get
a chance to see it?
I haven't.
You don't really have the desire to see it because you haven't seen the other ones, right? Yeah.
I'm not that into it.
I know. I mean, people are telling me, yeah, I want to see it, like my dad, right? He's 85 years old. I said, do you remember the original? Like, no. I said, so why would you... I don't think you like space movies, Dad. He's like, no, it sounds good. Okay, so we'll take him. He's just desperate to go to the movies, so any movie would be fine.
Right.
I just haven't taken him because he's mostly like into war movies, you know, and they don't make them anymore. You know, I mean, there's no like World War II movies. So I get it for him on Netflix and stuff.
Oh, sure.
But yeah. I promised him I'd take him to the theater and stuff, you know. It's just so hard when you see your parents aging and frail and stuff, and you constantly do things for them, you know. But it's starting to reverse itself where they become like babies now.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Isn't it just really crazy
to watch
that?
You have to help them put their clothes on and off, and wow, you know. And I just can't imagine when they get to the point where you have to help them shower and everything. I mean, we have helpers for them, but they're not at that point yet. You know, we still go out and do things.
Good,
so, yeah, I know, but I'm so grateful that they're here, you know, because I wouldn't want them in this situation when they're still back in Israel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing that they moved here closer.
It is for everybody. So, yeah, so Star Wars made $247 million in just like 3 days, right?
Oh, my goodness.
In 3 days, $247 million. Worldwide, it made $528. And so you can imagine they probably already paid it off in one day, all the cost, you know.
Probably,
probably cost them like $300 million or something to make. I don't know how much, but it seems like a very expensive film.
So, you know,
especially when you have to pay Harrison Ford and, you know, and J.J. Abrams. I'm sure they made a lot of money on this movie.
I know.
Yeah. So I'm eager to see it, but now, of course, there's all the spoilers out there. You can see pictures of the movie and everything. So
that's the thing. If you want to see it, stay off the internet.
Exactly. Don't go on social media. Don't read a paper. Don't look at newspaper. Look at magazines. Don't look at anything.
Basically, just don't go outside.
Yeah, exactly. Or just go to the friggin' movie. And, you know, that's why I posted on Facebook. I said, of course, it's going to be like a record movie because everybody has to go see it on the first weekend. Because otherwise, it's all going to be spoiled for everyone, right?
Yes.
So no wonder it made a lot. But it broke a lot of records, like the, you know, all-time records and stuff. So not that it's surprising. I think everybody knew. But the buildup for this was just amazing.
I know.
Amazing. And before we get to our guests, also, did you hear the Las Vegas Strip incident?
No.
Yeah. This woman drove her car into a bunch of pedestrians intentionally. And one person was killed, 37 were injured. And they're saying it's not a terrorist act. What I don't understand is this. It's not an act of terrorism. We're treating this as an intentional act. Like, terrorism is not intentional. I mean, I don't understand this quote here, right?
Maybe what they're trying to say is that she's...
That it's criminal rather than terrorism.
Certifiably insane.
Right.
But that she wasn't doing it for a cause other than just to kill.
Right, exactly.
Not for, you know...
Yeah, well, maybe she did, you know. I mean, maybe the intention was to kill, but it was obviously, they're saying it was criminal, not terrorism. You know,
right. She wasn't trying to promote Muslim
faith
or anything like that.
But still sad. I mean, what a place to hit the sidewalk, you know. I mean, people just walk in there in droves.
I know.
So that's this is a sad thing, and I don't know what a problem is, but obviously there's some mental illness going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to our guests now who are sitting here patiently, and they're ready to talk. And let's see. We have Aaron in the studio. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And RJ, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
And we're under disguised names here. We might as well say this, because if your friends are going to listen, they're going to go, who are these people, right? Totally. But we are going to be talking about cannabis today, which is close to my heart. I'm a pothead, and I've admitted that on the show, although it's taken me a long time. But no, Kelsey, I mean, I was turned on to pot when I was like 17 years old, okay?
Okay.
This was the 70s. I came from Israel. I was 16 years old. And I got to tell you that all the education was anti-drugs, you know? So when I came here, it's like, I'm not going to do drugs, you know? So then you start going to parties and, you know, as a 16-year-old, naive, you come from Israel, you come here, and then you start smelling that. That smell, that sweet smell.
That potpourri.
it's a strong smell, and when you're not used to it, it takes you by surprise, you know. Today I complain about the smell because it gives you away every time, you know, wherever you are, you know. And but we're going to be talking about things that address that and all these things. But going back to that, I said, oh, this must be like drugs and stuff. People said, yeah, that's marijuana and all that. And I said, I'm not trying this. And sure enough, I didn't try it for a while until a friend turned me on one time. They're like, look, just, you know, give it a try, you know. And God, I loved it. Right? Was that the same case with you guys? I mean, did you like love it the first time you tried it? Aaron?
I remember the first time I tried it, I was in junior high.
Really?
Yeah.
So we were all pretty young when we did this.
Yeah, I was young. And then I stopped doing it. I didn't do it a lot. I had a few bad trips. Mm-hmm. And then in my 20s, I started doing it.
Wow, even though you had bad trips?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't learn
right. The
first, second, or third time.
Yeah.
But now it's fine. No trips for me.
Well, I'm sure. That's why you're still in it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you wouldn't do something that feels bad. But the thing is that I noticed when people had never done it before, and then they do it for the first time, what we smokers tend to do is tell them, no, keep smoking, because they don't feel anything, you know? Right, RG? I mean, sometimes for the first time, they may not feel anything, and you go, well, keep smoking, you know? Before you know it, they finish a joint, and they're like tripping big time.
I think it took me about 10 times before I got high for the first time.
Really?
I think for a while I didn't know how to inhale. So
right.
I was like 16 or 17 and I was like trying to be cool, but I couldn't figure it out.
Right.
But until I got like, I remember we were like in a, it was like homecoming dance, 17 years old. We had a little baby bong.
And that's so cute.
And we laughed for hours straight.
Right.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Huh?
But yeah, people don't think that it's not hitting them, and then it hits them after, and
right.
All of a sudden they're like, oh, man.
It takes a little bit, yeah. So that's why you got to be very careful when introducing somebody new to it. It's like smoke and wait a little bit and stuff like that, you know. So, Kelsey, were you ever like, you don't have to say if you used it or not, but I mean, did people try to turn you on to it when you were young, also in school and stuff? Did that happen there in Texas?
There were people who did, but not really, because I'm young, but when I was going to school, it was still, you know, it was very taboo and illegal, and it still is illegal, actually, in Texas. But
it is, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
But so, yeah, you know, I didn't really hang out with, like, that quote-unquote crowd,
right,
so
right.
Not really. No.
Right, so you dodged the bullet pretty much.
I did.
Yeah. And you see, that's why she's successful, because she's not into it. I'm into it, and I'm not successful, so there
stop.
You go. I'm kidding. But no, I mean, this does take a certain amount of energy from you. I mean, as far as, like, effort, you think about it. So you were in junior high when you started?
Yes.
Right. And so you probably like offered a joint or something, right?
No, it was planned. We actually did it. It was at a famous person's house. I can't really say who. And it was on the roof of their house.
Right.
It was, and I don't know if I was faking it or not, because
right.
I just thought, oh, I'm high.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'll be
it
cool like
everybody.
It was a
placebo or what? I don't know. But I did it. I liked it, and I kept doing it until I tripped out. But the stuff now is so different than it was then. And, you know, people would accuse people of lacing it, and maybe that's why I had some bad trips.
True.
Now you know exactly where you're getting it. I mean, every day
well,
it changes.
At some point when we were younger, pot became much stronger.
Right.
And that's when, you know, the older generations are like, I can't believe that it's so strong.
It is,
like,
right?
Can I have something weaker? And we're like, no.
No, this is
you want something
you
weaker?
Get.
No.
Right.
Who wants weaker?
I know. You see, I came of age in the 70s, and back then it was like all like poor quality Mexican stuff, you know, a lot of seeds and stems and stuff, and it was like, God, this is garbage. It tastes bad. You know, yeah. Oregano, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, things have changed a little bit. So before we go on and stuff, I wanted to introduce to people to why you're here and what it is that you do. So let's start with you, Aaron. We met a couple of days ago, and you have a company, right? Is that your company?
I work for a company,
no. Oh, you work for the company.
Correct.
Okay, and what's the company's name?
Jetty Extracts.
Okay, and tell us what it is that you guys do.
So we're an extract company. We specialize in, well, oil extracts, and what we're known for are our cartridges and mm-hmm. our vape pens.
Okay.
And we also have other things like the dablicator. Mm-hmm. Which I'll go into,
yeah.
And we have wax.
Now, what are extracts for those of you who don't know?
The extracts,
like, I'm sure Kelsey is like, what's extract?
I do not know.
Right, so you see? She's naive when it comes. We sort of ambushed Kelsey today. She didn't know who was coming in, and she's like, oh, we're talking about marijuana today.
All okay. Right. Educate me.
Yeah, I could have surprised you with a porn star, so it's not that bad,
there
right?
There you go. There you go.
So extracts, what are those?
So you're extracting it from the plant. So you have the flower itself, the actual plant, but this is, we're extracting it from the plant, so you get the oil.
Oh, okay, so we extract
so
oil from the plant.
So we're able to get
plant.
It into more concentrated form. Oh. So if you take, like, the marijuana flower, the actual plant matter, mm-hmm. you can get between somewhere, you know, between 15 and 30% level THC in the actual
and
plant.
And that's about it, right?
That's about it. But then they what they do is they extract it with CO2, mm-hmm. and they're able to get it up between 60 and 90%. Actually, I think their gold oil is actually...
Almost 90%.
Wow.
Which is an amazing... It's an amazing... you know, some people are like, oh my God, I can get really messed up.
Right.
Like cancer patients or people that can't eat or people who... have, you know, really debilitating diseases, it's like a lifeline, basically.
Right. Yeah. Mm. And that's the thing, and we're going to talk about medical marijuana and everything. And for those of you wondering who have been living under a rock, medical marijuana has been legal here since the 90s, right? 96 or 97, something like
96.
That. 96. Yeah, when they passed SB, what was it, 215 or
SB
something?
SB 420.
Back
then, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just moved here a year ago.
Was there a 420? Because that's not a name of, you know where the name came from, right? The 420, it didn't come from a thing, from a bill.
SB 420, there's an SB 420 and there's a Prop 215.
Oh, okay, so Prop 215, okay. I didn't realize the 420 was actually part of a thing.
There's actually new regulations coming out too. And
really?
They're very interesting names.
Yeah, because, you know, the name 420, that's the legend. That's a story, is that up in Berkeley, I think it was, a bunch of kids were like meeting after school to get high, and they would meet at 4:20 p.m. And that's sort of like, that's a story of how 4:20 became associated with marijuana and things like that.
Interesting.
So it's funny that the bill, they named it that way as well, you know?
It makes sense, right?
It does. So, so medical marijuana has been legal here. And we have dispensaries here where people can go. You go to like a pharmacy, and they have jars of stuff. And you got to understand something. Marijuana has been taken out of the closet now, right? I mean, now people are admitting it's got medical value to it, medicinal value. Dr. Sanjay Gupta came out. He's pretty prominent, you know, on television and in the medical industry. And he came out and said that he reversed himself and claimed that marijuana does have medicinal value.
Reversed himself from what?
From saying
he
that...
He was anti.
His position.
He was anti-marijuana.
Oh,
you would
gotcha.
Hope that he reversed himself from something interesting.
But
it was just his point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what did he reverse?
Right. And, you know, guys, what they found out and what I'm reading about is that they've always put in a lot of money into studies of how marijuana is negative. But not many studies have been done on how it can help people, you know, like what the benefits are. And I think that's why it sort of like stayed, you know, starting with the reefer madness in the 30s and stuff, where people were saying marijuana was like causing people to go crazy and rape and murder. And, you know, I mean, that like, you know, because you had some attorney general.
That was alcohol they were talking about.
No, that, yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, but you're right. That's what happens. When people drink alcohol, those are the things they do.
They vilified the wrong substance.
Exactly, exactly. People have to understand, when you smoke pot or you eat edibles, which we'll talk about and stuff, you become mellow. You become friendly, you know. I mean, I spent some time in Amsterdam, and you go to these coffee shops. Have you guys had a chance to go to Amsterdam at all?
Never been. But
not yet.
Never
been.
It's next on our list.
Yeah, that's the mecca for potheads and stuff. I'm calling all of us potheads. You may not call yourself that, but that's what we call ourselves.
No, go ahead.
It's okay, please.
Yeah, that's what we call ourselves in the 70s anyway. But
if the whole world was on pot, yeah, it would be the most peaceful place.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah. I always say
yeah,
that.
People
just,
have to understand.
You just don't
that.
See big coffee shop fights, right, in Amsterdam. Everyone's not like
exactly.
getting mad at each other.
Everyone
and wild.
Everyone would eat a lot.
Yeah.
They'd be happy.
Worst case scenario, they fall asleep.
Exactly, you know. But you go in, they recommend what you should get. You get a menu. They recommend whatever you want. And the big deal is you take it and you sit down with people and you have coffee or dinner or whatever. And you smoke and you socialize with people you never met before mm-hmm. from around the world. Because Amsterdam is like a mecca, you know. It's like people come from all over. So that's the situation there. And you guys should definitely catch it if you appreciate cannabis, you know, because that's really where it's happening. They tried to sort of like make it more difficult for tourists recently, but they reversed that too. So now it's back to free for all, you know, pretty much. So, okay, so Jetty Extracts. So you guys extract the oil, you said, with CO2, that's carbon, yeah, right?
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah, get close to the mic. You can't,
carbon dioxide.
Yeah,
sorry.
You can't sit back during the show.
I was lounging.
Yeah, you can't. You have to be into the show. So go ahead, say it again.
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide,
that's
right.
What you wanted me to say, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. And, no, because I said carbon, but it's carbon dioxide. It's CO2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now, Aaron, are you familiar with the process itself? Did they show you how they actually do it?
Yeah.
So, explain to us how it's done.
So, you put it through a machine.
Uh-huh.
It's CO2 extract. We put it through a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And with the gold line, we put it through another machine, and we actually strip the terpenes out. And that's what takes away the identity of the actual strain and makes it more, we make it sativa, indica, or hybrid.
I see.
However, we do have the pure line, which is less THC. It's about 60 to 70%. And it's a little bit darker.
Uh-huh.
And that only goes through one process and one machine.
I see. Okay, so there's different qualities.
There's
so
different qualities,
they found what they do is through technology, they found a way to actually purify it to the point where it's a cleaner oil. And it's wow. more beneficial for it. So the way that marijuana works is that there's, you know, people just know it by THC. They know that the thing that gets you high or gets you loopy or has the psychoactive effect. But there's an entire other cannabinoid profile.
Cannabinoids, right.
That also do amazing things. I don't know if you're familiar with the kids in Colorado that made their epilepsy go away.
Right,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
Charlotte, yeah.
Charlotte's Web. So that's
that was so cool.
Yeah, that was a story on Gupta's movie, on his program, where they showed this little girl. She was in New Jersey, right? And she had like 200 seizures a day or something.
Yep.
It's wild. These young children that are just like that.
They're
crazy.
Literally on their deathbed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you give them, it's CBD is the main cannabinoid. Did I say that right?
CBD. Yeah, it's the non-psychoactive.
It's not the cannabinoid. I said cannabinoid.
Cannabinoid.
I didn't say that.
It's hard to say.
Cannabinoid.
She's on a first name basis with cannabinoid. Cannabinoid.
Right.
Anyway, it's mainly CBD, and it just, the things, it helps. You can't believe it. They're on their deathbed, and they give, and they're up the next day. And,
right.
You know?
What does it do exactly?
So they actually had, what's interesting is that I read, and that, I can't quote it exactly, but that, there was an official study that came out last week for use with pediatric epilepsy, using CBD for that, and they had 50% made it go away. With
I
the
did
kids.
See a headline about
it's
that.
It's real.
That's
so they really, they're
so
like,
it's real.
It's real, and
right.
it's scary that kids are suffering and dying because they couldn't get to Colorado or they couldn't get to a place that had it.
Right.
I'm actually a patient also, and I had a really bad autoimmune disorder that recovered from CBD also.
Wow!
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So we'll get to that. I just wanted to finish the Charlotte
it's just
story.
Very, very powerful medicine was the point that I'm making.
Right.
Not, it's not a joke, and it's not like
and
oh,
people
you
have to understand that, you know. And that's the thing is that marijuana. I mean, and so Kelsey, the way they were giving it to the girl, they didn't want her to get high, so they just so no THC, just the CBD in drops, you know, and it. It went down to what? Like maybe...
Two or three a week.
Oh, my gosh.
From 200 a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So
And it happened over and over and over again with other people.
And it's such an emotional story, right? Because it's you see beautiful. The parents struggling and struggling. And they try to talk New Jersey into making it legal. But no, you know. Chris Christie is so anti-cannabis. It's unbelievable, right?
Horrible.
Yeah. Totally anti.
He better not get elected, which he won't.
I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, no, not in this run anyway. But so they ended up moving to Colorado, right?
Yep.
So they can have that. And they actually developed a strain after her name,
oh.
Charlotte's Web.
And it's CBD dominant.
Oh.
Right. So she doesn't get high from this. No psychoactive stuff.
No.
Right. And that's what people have to understand.
Yeah, I don't understand the controversy.
Yeah. Because, well, that's the thing. It's because, look, there's still that stigma with illegal marijuana.
It is,
and that's what it is, you know. Because people only see it as like something to get high on, even though there's nothing wrong with that either.
The interesting thing is that a lot of these high CBD, not strains, but it can be extracted from industrial hemp as well as which is a male plant as well as a female plant, and in the past industrial hemp has been vilified in this country to the point where it's illegal to grow it, and it's
really?
And it's actually
yeah,
so it goes a lot deeper than just it's wild that you know you watch kids dying, they're
right.
getting better, and they still can't. In states, they're still arguing over it.
It's on the same
non-psychoactive one
as heroin.
Yeah,
they put it on the same thing as heroin.
Yeah, like
Schedule I drugs.
Schedule I drugs, like heroin and cocaine and stuff.
Wow.
And it's like, and they're still so adamant about not changing it with all the pressure over the years. But we'll see what happens with the federal government. I mean, right now they decided not to go after states that already legalized
Correct.
It, right?
I think Obama yesterday said that told something in Colorado to told the Supreme Court to not pay attention to some lawsuit.
Right.
So he said just don't even bother with it.
And I'm not crazy about him, but you know what? When they change president, it could change. So we don't know. But I think
unless you get Bernie Sanders,
yeah,
I know.
but I think the it's like the genie's out of the bottle now. You can't put it back in. You know,
it's too late.
It's too late now. It's on a momentum to become legal. It's just a matter of time.
Well, I've always been fascinated by the idea that marijuana is so vilified, but alcohol it kind of isn't really.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be just as potent.
/tobacco.
Well,
right.
It has
more.
So many benefits, marijuana, and that's what's coming out more and more.
You never hear of anybody getting healed from vodka.
No, absolutely not. It's not. Unless you take maybe for a glass of wine, it's good for your heart. But other than that, absolutely not.
Right. And you know what? I insist that even if it didn't have any medicinal value, even if it just says recreational value, so what? You know what I'm saying? It's a plant for crying out loud, you know, and it is helping people that can't get help by traditional medicine, then it's a no-brainer, you know. So tell us a little bit about your condition. What happened there?
So when I was 17 years old, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Oh.
And
what's that?
Crohn's disease is an autoimmune disorder where your body, for no reason, attacks itself, and it attacks your digestive lining.
Wow.
To the point where you can't stop bleeding. You can't. You start passing blood, and your body can't take in nutrients, and it kind of wrecks.
Wow!
It wrecks your.
And you were young.
Your quality.
17.
I was 17.
Wow!
And now I'm 35. So for more than half of my life.
Wow! And you still have it?
I mean,
it doesn't go away, right?
I mean, you can't just say, "Oh, it's cured," or you don't have it. But I, so you know, long story short, I tried everything under the moon because I was suffering so much for the last 10 years. And the interesting part is that you know, through a fortuitous reconnection with a family member who knew it and a doctor out here who was, you know, it's scary when the people that are actually giving people the medicine that can help them are getting like, you know, shut down by the government or get, you know, they're getting in trouble for trying to help people out.
Right.
So I kind of got the prescription of what I needed to do, and I ended up moving out here, and it was what got me better. It made everything just go away, to the point where I was still like having some sort of symptom, and I didn't understand, you know, why I didn't feel well. And I went to a doctor, and he was like, "There's nothing there. You're just stressed out."
Really?
Oh my gosh! Wow. So like, you feel totally.
I was like, I moved to LA. I started a new business. I did this. I did that. He's like, "Oh, you're just stressed out." He's like, "Have like, he's like, smoke some more."
Yeah. So yeah, you feel completely fine. Like,
there's nothing there. I'm saying that. So when I was in college, I stopped smoking pot because it made me way too paranoid, and it made me nervous. And I literally, 5 years ago, I lived in Colorado when it was legal medically, and still I didn't go towards it because I didn't want anything to do with it because it scared me and I had really bad experiences with it.
Wow.
And I had to, you know, be in a lot of pain and like really pushed against a wall and really like not wanting to be around anymore to get back into pot, which is strange. Kind of reminds me of this country, but
yeah.
It took me all that to get there. And I was scared to smoke it, and I smoked, and I got energy, I was more focused, and I felt, for the first time in a long time, I actually had space between me and my recovery and my condition.
Wow.
And allowed me that space to not be, like, so in so much pain mentally.
Right.
And at the same time, you know, as the mind calms down, the body kind of starts doing what it's supposed to do again.
Yeah. And it's also important to know that, you know, when... when you've used it for a while, you don't really get that high anymore, you know. So you can function doing things, you can live your life normally, and also consume marijuana with no problem, you know. It's not like a party thing where, you know, everybody's just like stuck to the couch and stuff. You can scrape them off the wall, you know. So,
and it's not a one-size-fits-all thing either. There are so many different products, and there are so many different strains, and there are so many different things that people can try. And I only,
it's still
I only,
trial and error.
Played guinea pig with myself and kind of figured it out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So you probably use, what, like CBD heavy stuff or, it's mixed, right?
I actually make my medicine out of a CBD strain. Myself, I extract it into coconut oil and take it every day. And on top of that, I'll smoke or do something edible, depending on how I feel during the day.
Yeah.
But I'm, as you would say, a very functional pothead.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So now, so we'll let's go back to Jetty Extract for a moment, and then we'll get to your product too, which is fascinating. So... So, Aaron, tell us a little bit about... So, you guys extract the oil.
We extract
the
oil.
And how do people consume it? Now, this is called vaporizing, right?
Correct.
Which some people don't know it exists. Now, if you don't want to burn the marijuana, you can actually just get the vapor out of it by heating it, right? Without burning it, with no combustion. So, so what's the effect then when you vaporize?
Well, it's very discreet. It's a very discreet way to smoke. It doesn't smell.
Right.
I think it's not as harsh on your lungs. It's better for you because you don't know what you're getting sometimes with all the pesticides.
Right, exactly.
So it's a clean way to smoke.
Right.
Another thing that we do, and you know it's the best stuff because what we do is we give it to patients through our shelter project, which is our nonprofit.
Oh, wow.
So we give it to cancer patients. We donate our oil.
Wow.
So if they sign up through... one of their collectives, they sign up on the shelter project, they are able to get oil through us.
Wow.
And they
cool.
either will smoke it or they can take it through, they can just put it on their gums like the way Rick Simpson did. The way
Qualified California patients with Rex from their doctor.
Correct. Thank you.
Exactly. You're welcome. Yes, you have to be. You have to get a recommendation from your doctor.
There's a lot of very specific language that needs to be used when you're talking about it from a legal standpoint.
Right.
Because we're still in that place where.
Thanks, RJ.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah. So let's just make it clear. I mean, you can't go to a dispensary. I mean, they really check your background and stuff as far as driver's license, ID, and your recommendation.
And you're not buying. It's a donation,
right?
It's a collective,
exactly.
It's everything. It's a nonprofit. Everything has their own. It's a certain way you have to set it up. But every state is different, and this is just the way that California and Southern California.
Right.
Even the rules are different between
language.
The north and the south. So there's
a certain language. You can't talk about prices on the phone and things like that.
They're donation.
No one's selling anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we are donating oil,
and these people are getting so friggin' rich. I mean, I can't believe how busy these dispensaries are.
Isn't it crazy?
You know, they're like. Amazing. People have to wait in line sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how busy they are. And they've got like hundreds of them here.
Yeah, I was going to ask how many.
we had over 1,000, right, in
so
LA.
There's about, I think, 135 pre-IOC, ICO
right.
dispensaries. And those are the original ones that have the...
Actually, 130.
130?
Yes.
What happened to the... thank you. So those are the original licenses that are completely legal, that they can't get messed with, they can't get shut down. And I think right. there's also these Proposition D compliant dispensaries also that mm-hmm. set it up correctly with, you know, legally they form the nonprofit cooperative the way that they're supposed to.
Right.
But then there's also like the rogue stores that are just
right.
it's you know, they're praying that they don't get shut down because yeah. they can just get shut down any day.
Yeah.
Mm. 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And let's go back to the extracts in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, RJ, about your products. Tell us what it is that you do.
So we just launched a healthy edibles line called Garden of Weedon. What I noticed when I moved here, I know it's against strong language, but I'm actually moved here as a medical marijuana refugee because I couldn't, if I wanted to get my medicine, I would have to, you know, have it sent in the mail, which is completely illegal to do.
Right.
Oh.
Which is like drug trafficking. So I had to move here right. to be able to get my medicine. So I,
right.
you know, not to the extent that I was a child with seizures and was dying, but at the same time, I had to do something to
yeah
be,
you
to
felt it was gonna it's about your life, about your future.
So what I noticed when I got out here going to the different stores and seeing what was going on is that a lot if not most of the edibles were candy based, they were right. sugar based, they were, and I don't know if everyone knows, but sugar feeds cancer. And that's refined really? Sugar is something that really feeds cancer, and it's mm. not.
Wow. I mean, you always hear acid. Of like hash brownies and stuff.
It makes no sense with people are taking their medicine and they're taking it with a sugar based corn syrupy, like, and they're hiding what I think is inferior oil.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Jetty is that there are many oil companies out there,
mm-hmm.
and there are some, they're all different qualities, which,
right.
you know, what Jetty does is more of a high-end oil. They put a lot of care into it, and they right. put, what we do is actually we extract it into coconut oil. So the company is called Garden of Weedon.
Uh-huh.
We do medic.
Which is an awesome
which
name.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you come up with a name?
I did.
Wow.
So very great. Cool.
Actually, we have an amazing artist. All of our packaging they're all paintings. And
it's
the
so
art,
cute.
The artist came up with the concept, the whole Johnny Appleweed concept and this whole Garden of Eden thing. And I was like, you know, you can't like put that on packaging. This, like, it was this crazy Adam and Eve story of all this. And then it just hit me one day. It was like, oh, it's Garden of Eden. And I was like, that makes sense.
Very cool. So this probably has to do with like natural stuff.
So it's medicated dried fruit. There's no added sweeteners, no added sugars.
So how do you get it on the fruit?
So what we do is we just literally we toss the apples in it and it's all dehydrated. So we're able to lock in the oil with the apples, and with the bananas the same thing. It's very simple ingredients. The apples, the apple rings are just apples, coconut marijuana infused coconut oil and cinnamon. That's it. And the bananas are the same. Bananas, medicated coconut oil and cinnamon. We're just trying to keep it small batch, artisanal, simple. And well, I don't know, just it seems like I would expect to come to LA and be like, there's like healthy edibles out the door, you know. They'd be like, I was shocked that they didn't have something that was
right.
healthier. It made no sense.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's true.
Because they have to coat everything with the sugar, and because found a way not to do it.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're hiding the taste. They're hiding the taste of things, and people still taste it.
Mm.
I don't like edibles. However, Garden of Weedon is the only edible I will eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I know the edibles are not that great. They don't taste very good. You know, they I mean, you obviously don't put like live plant in there, you know. Yeah, they create the butter, like you said, right? Or oil, whatever.
So what we kind
coconut
of did was
oil.
We did it infused it into coconut oil.
Right.
And the way that it mixed with the natural sugars of the fruit and with the cinnamon and everything, it blends together. So it has, it tastes like really yummy. But it also has, it doesn't taste weedy, but it has a little bit of an earthy taste to it, which is like, but it's not offensive.
Right.
There you go.
That's great, yeah. Rather than eat brownies or chocolates and things like that. And I know I've always tried edibles, but they never did anything for me until I realized I need like a high dosage of it, right?
The man has really, a high tolerance.
Yeah,
you eat the whole batch of brownies.
I do have high tolerance. I mean, look, I've been smoking since I was 17. I did take a break for a few years in the middle, but nevertheless, you know, so I have high tolerance for it. So then I realized I need like at least 200 milligrams to really feel it, you know. So I got a couple of brownies, and it works great, you know. I mean, when you have high tolerance, then this kind of takes you a little bit over, you know. It like really relaxes you and stuff. But I don't enjoy eating it, you know. It's like I really don't, you know. So
what I was trying to do was something that tasted good.
Right.
And that wasn't – a lot of people – the thing with edibles is that – I'm not going to say everyone, but a lot of people have a horrible edible story. Yeah. So you tell them you're like you work with an edibles company, and they're like, never. I will never touch it, because what happened was that the oil is so strong and it tastes, you know, so good, and they want to eat more of that sugary thing, and then they don't feel it in an hour or two.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, I want to eat more. And then they like pound more. And then next thing you know, they're like hallucinating.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There's this phone call to 911 that's been going around social media like for a long time. And this is actually a cop and his wife who had actually eaten some edibles, and they called 911 to say, I think we're dying.
I heard it. It was really funny.
Really?
I haven't heard
it. That was very funny, you know? And this is a cop, too. So the thing is, yeah, you have to be careful with edibles and understand what your tolerance is for that. So eat a little bit at a time and wait half an hour, even an hour, right?
More.
Even more.
You don't feel it. But what I found, which is really interesting, is that there's a lot of professionals that want something that's not very strong, that's mm-hmm. not too strong. Not that ours isn't that strong, because it's, you know, if you...
You can monitor it.
You can monitor it as much as you eat. Mm-hmm. If you have a higher tolerance, then you can actually enjoy it and have a snack.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that it's a snack.
Right. But it's fresh. I mean, it's, you know.
But so people, I feel like people are generally moving away from drinking, that they want something else that they can de-stress themselves after. Everyone is so stressed out, and right. everyone needs something after work or after their busy days or on their weekends or something where they can just like,
yeah.
just like relax.
Exactly. And you know, if you don't like smoke, if you don't like smoking and stuff like that, this is the perfect alternative.
It's amazing that when people come to you and they're like, I feel so much better, just like, and you know, drinking, well, I'm not going to... I don't drink personally, but but people just it wears on you over time. It wears. I just know from stopping drinking, because I wasn't well, and I started again a little bit, and I was like, oh, my body doesn't really like this.
Sure, yeah. No, I don't drink at all.
Yeah, I know. I barely drink.
Potheads don't drink.
Exactly, right? So, Aaron, tell us a little bit about going back to the extracts. You mentioned. Like, what, 90% THC? Is that what you said?
For our gold line, it's almost 90%.
Wow. So that's really concentrated.
Correct.
And so people consume this by getting a battery, right? You sell the battery,
too. We sell the battery as well.
And so it's a very discreet. It's a pen, right? It's just
it's called a pen. It's a battery. Right. And then you just
push a button, and you're ready to go.
Right.
That's it.
And the vapor comes out from the oil. It doesn't smell like anything.
Nope.
There's no burning.
Nope.
No ashes. No smoke, no nothing.
Nothing.
So it's very discreet, and I think that's important.
My mom has one in her purse at all times.
Really?
Now. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You see, I love to hear about all the people smoking. And stuff,
I got all my family on it.
Really?
I got everybody, all my friends who never would even touch pot. Now they all have their jetty pens with them.
Wow.
And it's great because they see it's a discreet way. It makes them feel good. They take one or two puffs, two hits. They're great. Forget drinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take... In lieu of Tylenol PM, I'll take two hits of Indica before I go to sleep. Perfect.
And you're out.
And I'm out, and I don't have any effects when I wake up.
Yeah. Very cool. To me, it feels like there's a semi-truck on my head every morning when I get up. But
do you really?
That's me, yeah. That's me.
Well, you should keep getting 8 hours of sleep then and not 3 or 4.
Exactly. It kind of stays. It's like I get up, I have to smoke more just to wake up again, you know.
But it's really it's a good product. Listen, I... looked into a lot of companies to work for and to promote, and this by far is
really
the best.
That's cool. Are they here in California?
Yes, they are.
Really
based
cool.
Out of San Diego and up north.
Oh, nice. Wow. And so you have that pen, and you also have the dablicator?
The dablicator. For those cool kids that dab, dabbing is what the millennials do, I should say.
And tell us what that is.
Kind of what the crackhead millennials do.
it's not a pretty way to consume cannabis.
Dabbing is interesting because recreationally it's kind of like, she's saying it's cracky because the nature of doing it is you have to actually heat up like a little rig with a blowtorch and like drop it on there.
Right.
So it's with a nail and everything.
And it's so strong. Yeah, with a nail and everything. So it's so strong. But actually on the medical side, like once you've seen somebody with muscular dystrophy that was fed through a tube and can't digest food and his body doesn't work, and something of that strength made his body work again, is like an amazing thing.
So you have to find a different way to consume it.
So we're talking like cancers and muscular dystrophies and crazy
stuff. Yeah, it is hardcore.
And it's really strong, and it's really great for people that want to have some fun.
On the recreational side, it's very strong and fun, and it seems like a whole to-do. However, on the medical side, it really does work. I mean, Mikey with MS, you know?
If I didn't see it, I wouldn't believe it. Yeah. I can't speak anecdotally about you hear so many stories about people, but once you see it, you're like, wow, this is like... Because it's relatively innocuous. The side effect profile compared to what they give, especially cancer patients and people like that, are so much greater.
Yeah.
Maybe my worst side effect of my life is that I'm high.
Yeah. Huh? What a bad side effect.
I'm hungry. I'm tired. Oh, well.
And I have a new lease on life. Right. Thank you.
But the dablicator can also be used other ways for those that don't dab. It it's been decarboxylated, meaning you can eat it and you still get that high.
Oh, really?
And so that's how the Rick Simpson oil is actually done, is it's put on your gums or...
Oh, okay.
So that's how it's used for the cancer patients. It can also be smoked. You can put it on top of your flour. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like an extra something.
Yeah, like something I would need.
I'm going to give you one, of course.
Yeah,
kidding.
Even the 30% THC in the leaf that you were talking about... compared to 90%, I mean, you can't even compare.
The dablicator is actually an amazing piece of technology that Jetty created. It takes something that's actually a messier process, something that you actually, like I said, have to have a rig and a nail and all these things, and have something to scoop it out, and as opposed to having something that you can put on a bowl, putting on your joint, you can put on any way that you smoke it
on the paper.
It's like you just literally turn it, and the oil you turn the bottom of it, the oil comes out, and you can modulate the dose and everything.
That's awesome.
It's a great piece of.
And for those of you interested in the pens. Those, just to explain, you buy the battery, and then the cartridges, they have to get at a dispensary, right? You can't buy it like online or anything.
No. You have to have
a recommendation, and you have to go to a dispensary.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but you can go to the website. It's Jetty, Jetty, extracts.com, and you can find out a lot more about it and see if this is something that is available in your state. Is it? I'm sure they probably sell it outside California too, right? Like Colorado and Washington, or no?
Not yet. We're going to start.
But you're in California.
We're in California.
So anybody in California can get this pretty much. You guys are getting around, right?
Correct. And you can reach me on Instagram at Healing by Cannabis.
Healing by Cannabis. There you go, at Instagram. And you can get a lot of... and then it says here, for every gram purchased, Jetty will donate a gram to a cancer patient.
Correct.
That is awesome. And if you guys want to enroll in that, enroll in the shelter from in the Shelter from the Storm Project, right?
Exactly.
So,
which is our nonprofit. And they can go and they can register. And they need a doctor's rec, obviously. And we...
So you register where? On the website?
On our website, yes.
On the website. Cool.
We donate oil.
Very cool. And then they go to a dispensary, or you guys get it to them,
correct,
right?
Correct, as long as they have the doctor's rec.
Right. Awesome. So everybody check out JettyExtracts.com the next time you're at the dispensary. And
Definitely try. It's the best oil out there.
Yes, I mean, if I'm recommending this, then you guys should.
I don't know any oil company that's doing a one for one, gram for gram for cancer patients.
Yeah. Again, I don't either.
It's like all oil companies are not created equal. It's important to look at philanthropically what they're doing, where their money goes,
the additives that we do not add,
and how committed they are to having clean medicine.
Right, that's true, and it's all like clear and a nice oil and pure and everything. And Garden of Whedon, where can people get that?
They should go to their store and say, we want it.
Okay.
We literally just launched last weekend at the Blazers Cup in San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. It was actually beautiful after everything that happened in San Bernardino that they had this big event.
They had a Blazers Cup and I didn't know about it? Damn.
I just hit you too late.
I know.
Next time you're on the list.
I know. I went to the Cannabis Cup and the traffic was so bad that I turned around and went home.
Really?
Oh, no.
It was like it was not moving. All the intersections were just jammed. And I'd been the previous year, and I had a blast. You know, I mean, everybody out there smoking and all that stuff and dabbing. But this year, I couldn't even get close to the stadium or whatever it was. So you're saying there was another one, and I just missed it.
They're nonstop.
Yeah, okay.
They're happening. We'll all go together, and there'll be no line waiting.
Yeah.
We can just take care of it.
Right. So quickly, we're totally out of time. Garden of Whedon.
Garden of Whedon. Our website is thegardenofwhedon.com. Our Instagram is the best way to find us. At Garden of Whedon. It's GARDN of Whedon. And you can check out
WEEDEN.
GARDNOFWEEDEN.
Right.
Potheads can spell also.
Yeah, exactly. And there's flavors of apple and bananas, right?
Yeah, apple rings and banana bites. And we are in a few delivery services and a couple collectives already, just from people getting excited about it. And we're just going for a big sales push right now.
Great. So everybody ask for it when you go.
Or a donation push.
And I'm gonna,
there you go.
And I'm going to try this tonight and I'll
Please
let people
do.
Know how it was. You know, I don't know. I mean, it says the bag has 150. I may have to eat the whole bag and more. But I don't know if
you might after you taste it. But
yeah,
it's okay.
I know. That's cool. Erin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
A lot of full of information and a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
And I'm glad we ran into each other. I'm sure it's never like coincidences, right?
Never. No, yeah. It was definitely meant to be. Thank you.
And RJ, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And much success to both of you with your companies. I know, I mean, you moved here for this to be able to be close to legal marijuana, and now you've made a business out of it. So it's amazing for you, you know.
For me, it's amazing.
So we wish you best of luck in everything.
Appreciate it.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Great meeting you guys.
All right, Kelsey, and thank you. Thanks for keeping up with us, Kelsey, because
yes.
I know it was like foreign language to you.
I got educated.
Yes, you did. And so you're leaving tomorrow to go back home, right?
I am.
And you'll be back when? Monday?
I will.
So will we be back here next Tuesday then? Will you be available next Tuesday?
Monday.
After you come back. Oh, Monday you'll be here already?
Yeah.
Okay, folks. So have a nice break. You can listen to some replays. And we'll see you. Actually, have a Merry Christmas, right? Because we won't be able to wish that before that. Totally Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourself. Do get high if you like. And...
I'm just kidding. It will be Tuesday.
And keep doing it until you like.
I know.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Sorry.
I know. All right, guys. So we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks for listening and see you later.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey only on LA Talk Radio.